A father searching for his son. God was very clear to call himself our father. It's the picture he paints. It's the relationship that makes sense when you look at it. So many questions in a relationship like this. How long will this father look? What's going on in his heart? And what about the one who strayed? What about this boy that he's after? So many questions. How do people get from wherever he was with his dad, that relationship, being shepherded by a father, to where he is today? Everybody's story is different. But Jesus addressed this topic. Jesus addressed this issue of straying, moving away from the Father and his love. And we are going to look at that tonight. Hopefully when you came in tonight, you were handed an outline by my teammate, Mr. Randy. Now would be a good time for you to get that out. I'd like for you to take notes. Anything that we have on the center screen, please feel free to make sure you fill in your outlines. But also, if any ideas come to you, if God impresses anything on your heart, write it down. If God says something to you in your heart, it's worth writing down. So please do that. Well, in our series, we are traveling with Jesus. Jesus has been on his walkabout for quite a while now in our study. He has been ministering to people at a very grassroots level, meeting people on their turf as their social peer and in a very relatable manner. Sometimes Jesus' teaching is difficult for people to understand, but the majority of the time, his point is as clear as a bell. Now, he has made it evident that God doesn't give up on people, no matter how bad they have been. He's made it a point that no matter how high or how low your social status, that is not important to God. Jesus has made it clear that religion, your spirituality, is about your heart. It's about your attitudes, and it's about your beliefs, and it's not about unfelt mechanical practices. And through it all, throughout this whole time, as Jesus is on his walkabout and he's doing his ministry, throughout this time, Jesus has backed up his authority, proving who he is and that he should be listened to, by doing miraculous signs and wonders that only God can do. Now, some common themes are becoming evident in Jesus' ministry, and the Bible points these out to us, as it does tonight. It mentions specifically a theme here in Luke chapter 15. If you brought your Bibles with you, please turn to Luke chapter 15. If you didn't bring your Bible, bring it next week. We're going to have all the scripture up on the center screen, but I'd like you to get familiar to where we're actually bringing the text out from. So Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 1. It says, "Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus." Now, this made the Pharisees and teachers of the religious law complain that Jesus was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. It says, "If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep.' And in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed." Now, Jesus, being the best and most wonderful teacher who ever lived, has power and truth packed in each one of his messages. They're loaded. Now, this passage we just read contains more than one facet or more than one piece of theology in it. That means truths about God. first ministry theme we see in it is that Jesus is reinforcing the commitment that God has to seek and to save and to love the good, the bad, and the ugly. Jesus is making that clear in this. He says tax collectors and notorious sinners came to Jesus and he welcomes them. Jesus welcomes notorious sinners. He then teaches them, and the most amazing thing, he socializes. He eats with them. Now, Westbridge, we have explored that theological theme. We have explored that quite extensively in this series. But there's a second theological facet or sub-theme that Jesus includes in this teaching throughout the rest of this chapter, and we're going to go over this chapter over the next 3 weeks. The theme is a different look at how people stray from God. Each time, Jesus picks a different way that people stray from God. And we can see that tonight, the straying from God is a careless straying. It is an unintentional straying. Is the type of straying that Jesus will make us clear is the type of straying that a sheep walking off from his shepherd would do. And that kind of straying, any straying, can be labeled sin. Now, what do we mean by sin? I want to give you the definition of sin. Sin, the Bible has shown, is anything other than what God wants. A lot of people think that sin is the opposite of what God wants. That's incorrect. Sin is anything other than what God wants. It doesn't have to be the complete opposite. It can just be a little off from what God wants. What God wants is the mark. If you miss the mark, you're off from that, and that is what God is talking about. Anything other than what he wants is sin, and that's what he's trying to take care of. And in this story, straying or moving away from God is not what God wants. Therefore, it is sin. So, in this first illustration, Jesus says that some sheep will carelessly wander away from the shepherd or the flock. It is this action, this attitude of straying that I want to wrap our hands around tonight, and then next week we'll do the following of unintentional straying or defiant straying. But tonight we're going to look at this idea of carelessly straying from God. Now, by using this sheep straying off example, Jesus is saying some folks are not careful. They are not careful about their wandering. You can read that as not careful about how you live your daily life. You're not careful about that, Jesus is saying, in these sheep. The sheep who wanders off, they're not shaking their fist at the shepherd. They're not denying the shepherd's leadership. The sheep is merely not paying attention. And the sheep is not focused on where he is going or what he is doing. This apathetic, wandering sheep is a carefree and indifferent sheep, and they are in harm's way, and they don't see the pitfalls, they don't see the dangers that surround them, but God does. Gang, tonight, you and I must awaken to the truth that it is possible to wander off from God, to just carelessly wander off from God by not paying attention. This practice of straying, this apathy in the Christian walk is indeed a danger. I think of the children's story of Pinocchio when I hear of this type of straying. How we had this happy, carefree little boy who strayed into trouble because he was not focused. He was not paying attention to the people surrounding him or the road in front of him. This unfocused, careless walk in life, this is not a singular occurrence. There was just a movie on this week that told the story of a young, common young man, who was catapulted into stardom when he instantly replaced the lead singer in a rock band. This young man entered that world naive, but more so, he entered it cautionless. And he wound up lost in a world, spinning out of control. He has strayed, wandered off, like the sheep in Jesus' story. It happened all because he was apathetic and unguarded and unmindful of the dangers surrounding him. Now, does the Bible give us instructions on how we are to live? Matthew 10:16, Jesus says this. This is from the King James Version. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. The Message translation puts it this way. Jesus speaking says, stay alert. This is hazardous work that I'm assigning you. You're going to be like sheep running through a wolf pack. So don't call attention to yourselves. Be as cunning as a snake and inoffensive as a dove. Gang, we must always be mindful of how and where we are grazing. Read that as living our daily lives. So let's look tonight at three missteps, three bad steps of straying sheep, and then we'll identify solutions and get on the positive solution side of this. Sound good? Here we go. First misstep, wrong place. Sheep that have strayed have gone where they were not supposed to be. Where they are supposed to be is where the shepherd has put them. But he, God, chooses the place for them to live each day. He is the shepherd. If they can't see the shepherd, they've gone to the wrong place. And those wrong places can be cliffs. They can be ravines. They can be raging rivers and any kind of dangerous area. Well, Westbridge, we can wander off to the wrong place as well if we are unfocused and careless, and if we treat our surroundings as places that have no danger to us, no impact on our spirituality, and no influence on us. As I learned to parent teenagers, I have two of them now, I am attempting to be wise as a serpent, as Jesus said. I want to be wise in regards of noticing and guarding my kids against straying to wrong places. My 16-year-old daughter recently was asked to a homeschool prom. Now, I knew very little about this prom. So, trying to be wise as a serpent and making sure my sheep doesn't wind up on a cliff, I asked about the prom. Who is chaperoning it? Because if it wasn't going to be supervised well, then it would be the wrong place for my little sheep. If there was alcohol available, wrong place for my little sheep. I said, are they staying in one big large room together, or are they able to go off into smaller areas together? If so, wrong place for a little sheep. I'm trying to be wise as a serpent, not as dumb as a stump. Well, two young homeschoolers are going to pick me up, these two boys, and drive me 2 hours out to Westchester, and then they're going to bring me home at I don't know what time. Oh, that's okay, Katie, because they're homeschoolers. We can trust them. Dumb as a stump, not wise as a serpent. Gang, we have to think about the situational places we put ourselves in. Let me make this simple for some of our young people, and you older folks may amen me along the way, all right? Let's do this like the old Baptists do it. Here we go. If, young people, you are at a party with alcohol, wrong place.
Amen.
If, young people, you are anywhere where something illegal is going on, that's the wrong place.
Amen.
All right, now for the young people back at the adults. If you older people are places where your friends are gossiping all the time, wrong place.
Amen.
All right, I like the way this is working. We're getting this. If you are avoiding church, if you are avoiding youth group, if you are avoiding your Bible study, you're in the wrong place.
Amen.
Don't avoid that stuff. Jesus' command to be wise as a serpent makes it clear that we are not called to be naive, laissez-faire followers of God. We are not to be those who carelessly look at the surroundings we're in. Instead, the Bible says, Jesus says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And as far as my daughter, I like to include the next four words of the next verse. It says, but beware of men. Now, I know that's out of context. But don't you tell her that. All right? Just leave it right there. All right?
Amen.
Yeah, another amen, right? So, all right, the tough stuff's been said. So, can a Christian go to a party? Of course a Christian can go to a party. Katie went to that party last night after I had intimidated every man who walked in. She went to the party. All right. It's okay nobody asked her to dance because they were scared. That's fine. I like that. All right. Beware of men. You could put that down, but don't use that. Okay. Can a Christian dance? King David danced like crazy. And God said he was a man after God's own heart. Of course a Christian can do that. Can a Christian have fun? Well, if you've been around here very long, we have fun all the time. Come next week to that Relay for Life. You're going to have fun. Thank you. Yeah, Relay for Life. We'll have fun, right? Let me give you some application. Let me give you a takeaway. Here's how to make this work. The way to know if you are in the right place is to ask the shepherd. Ask Jesus like he's sitting right next to you, right? Get these all. Ask Jesus like he's sitting right next to you. Lord, is this where I am supposed to be right now? Ask him that. Jesus, are you comfortable here in this surrounding, in this setting, in this place? God, is this where you want me to be? Is this where you have chosen the place what you want? Remember, sin is other than what God wants, right? God has so many good places for us to be. But we have to think about it, gang. We have to pay attention. We must focus and be mindful. Be wise as a serpent, not apathetic. So, Westbridge, misstep number one of a straying sheep is wrong place. Misstep number two of a straying sheep, wrong crowd. I have that image burned in my mind ever since I was a little boy of Pinocchio walking down the road with that wolf's arm around him. This little wooden boy who had come to life gives no thought. He gives no thought to the fact that his new friend is a wolf. Not just a wolf, but a wolf that wants to pull Pinocchio away from his home and away from his father's shepherding. Westbridge, if we are to be wise as serpents, we must consciously evaluate our crowd. Now, believe me, I have loads of non-believing friends. But I find if I remain among that crowd exclusively, if I start to look only at that world, and I forget that I am on a mission from God to them, then I start to become more like them and less like Jesus. Here is a truth you can write down. This is not on your outline. Write this down. You are what you hang around with. You are what you hang around with. And that works in a positive way as well as the negative way. I had two very strong Christian crowds. Two very strong Christian crowds that helped make me a better follower of God when I was a baby Christian. The first crowd was my brother Jay and the Fooge. That's my friends, my brother Jay and the Fooge. I know you don't like that name, but that was the Fooge, and he was cool, and I liked him. And we hung around together, and we were believers of God. And the second crowd that I hung around with was a college and career group where I met Kelly, my wife. Gang, when I hung around with those people, we helped make each other stronger. We laughed, yes. We rode motorcycles. We ate out. We had tons of fun. But we also talked about God a lot. And we asked each other questions that confused us about God. And none of us would get terribly off track with God because that's just not what we all did. And having the watchful eyes of God on one another, we were well chaperoned within our own crowd. God has a whole family of friends for us to grow with and to help grow them. Sure, I still spend time with my friends who don't know God yet, but I do not surround myself exclusively with them. It is so sad when I see sheep wander away from God's family and cut in with a group of friends that care nothing about God. These wandering sheep don't pay attention to the fact that they are separated from the flock and they're missing what God has for them. Kelly just told us about last week down in Baltimore. Last weekend, these young people went down to acquire the fire, and what I have heard from them and what I have seen in video highlights shows so clearly that this was a huge God moment in these kids' lives. They are continuing daily to talk and post about that event. I was so excited and happy for them. But I have to be honest with you. I couldn't help but think of a few sheep who have wandered away from the flock. Others who are naively walking their way towards Pleasure Island like little Pinocchio with a wolf. Gang, the way to know that you are as wise as a serpent in this area is to ask this question. Am I influencing my crowd towards good, or is my crowd influencing me towards bad? It takes careful, thoughtful evaluation to be wise as a serpent. It doesn't come easy, and it doesn't come cheap, and it doesn't come without effort. But God can help us do it so that we and those around us are growing in God, not away from Him. We've handled two missteps. The last misstep of straying sheep is this: wrong practices. Gang, I will sit down with people to counsel them, and they will ask for help because their life is not firing on all of its cylinders. I always listen first. I listen. And then I start to ask what they have been doing. Now, the answers that I get back are endless, and they are diverse as can be. But the common thread is that they are usually doing something that they are blind to. Some action, some practice that's blowing things up that they don't recognize. Practices like placing interests or hobbies before God. Practices like breaking proper boundary rules with others. Practices like accepting actions that are other than what God wants and accepting those as tolerable actions. Now remember, our topic here is how do we avoid haphazardly straying from God and live wise as serpents? Well, remember, the Holy Spirit is inside each believer. And the Holy Spirit's job is to guide us. It is to enlighten us, to convict us, especially when it comes to wrong practices and actions. Now, if anyone knows me, they know that I love to laugh. I love it. And I also like being funny. But I noticed by the Spirit's enlightenment that I had a very bad practice. I had a very wrong practice of joking and mocking and making fun of people that I'm not too fond of at work. Everyone laughed. They called me the king of the one-liner. And then one day, that little wrong practice of mine bit me in the rear end when someone came back to me and asked if I had said a certain thing about them, which I had. Wrong practice, Drew. I haven't done that in years now. I bite my tongue. Believe me, every day I get an urge, but I know it's the wrong practice for what God has for me, and that it will take me away. It will push me out of the field that God wants me to be in. I need to be in the field helping people, not tearing them down. I don't want to wander into habits that are not what God wants for me. Remember, that's sin, anything other than what God wants for us. I don't want to accept behaviors that push me further from the life and further from the job that God has for me. But gang, it takes a conscious commitment to serpent's wisdom. It takes a conscious commitment to be alive to the Holy Spirit's conviction inside of us. And it takes a conscious commitment to receive outside counsel, to recognize wrong practices and begin the process of ending them. Because like sheep who've wandered off, we often don't recognize these issues. So the last step, the last takeaway, the last action point for tonight in this serpent's wisdom is this. I first want you to ask God to show you. Let the Holy Spirit do His job. And ask the Holy Spirit to evaluate you. Is there anything that I need to change? And after you've done that, I want you to pick a friend. Pick a friend and go to them and let them evaluate you. Ask that friend, what one thing do you see in me that I can change at this point in my Christian walk that will make me a better follower of God? And when you do that, gang, when you get that evaluation from that friend who you love and you trust and you know who wants the best for you, when they give you their answer on how you can be a better believer of Jesus Christ, a better follower of Him, do not argue with that information. Do not dismiss it. Do not go back. Do not push on it. Instead, take it. Take what they say and with serpent's wisdom, act on it. We do not want to be people who stray from God. And one of the ways we can stray from God is by not being careful. It's like you are trying to walk up an escalator that's going down. The minute you stop with your forward movement, which way are you going? Down. That's what the Christian walk is. It's constant effort to move up. But the minute you stop and take your effort off of it, you will start moving back down. And that is a straying sheep that Jesus talks about here that He wants us to avoid. I would like the band to come back. I would like our worship leaders to come back. And I want to give you a chance to do that first part. To allow God to speak to your heart as you ask Him, Lord, what is one of the practices? We'll start with that one tonight. You can think about the places you go, the crowd you're with. But ask Him tonight to start that evaluation process. Lord, what is there? What one thing will you put your finger on tonight that I need to address? That I need to say, that practice is a lot like Drew, what he was doing at the firehouse, talking bad about people. I need to get that thing out of me like he's getting that out of him. Think about that as we worship together and ask God, the Holy Spirit, to do the job of changing us.